you have come into this house tonight, and you shall have my peace. My peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you, but my peace will keep your heart and guard your mind. God's given you peace. Amen, amen, amen. Well, you may have your seats. Praise the Lord. Tonight, you're going to be greatly blessed. Of course, just want to let the ladies know that this Saturday at 10 a.m., they're going to have their woven. It's Women of Victory Enjoying New Life. So, ladies, if you can come out this Saturday at 10 a.m. for this will be the first woven after the tea, so it'll be a great time, and that'll be great. But tonight, we have with us some very dear friends. They've been away as long as, pretty much as long as we've been here at this church, right? For how long has it been now?
11 years.
11 years, okay. And we have Jeff and Lori Smith and their daughters, Kylie and Leah, and they were teachers here, and God called them to China, and they're reaching out to a minority people called the Sha people in China, and they've been working in China, laboring, and they've been learning songs and singing. Last time they were here, they showed us how they auditory learn things, and it was incredible, and so we only get to see them every so often. So they're going to share a little bit update about China and what's going on. And then we're still going to have our class. So you guys are you guys get doubly blessed tonight. And what I want to do tonight, too, I know that some of you may not have been prepared, but I want us to take up a special offering for Jeff and Lori and their ministry. And so whatever you can give, I just want you to give it. And it doesn't matter the amount, but when we all put it together, it'll be a blessing to them, all right? Because we like to bless people, don't we? And isn't it awesome how when we bless people, God blesses us? He does. So tonight, we're going to receive a special offering for them. You can just put it in the container and just mark it Smith, all right? And everything that comes in for them will go to them. And plus, we always add to it as well. Amen? So you guys ready to hear some things about China and what's going on? So I want to invite them to come up, and let's just give them a warm VCF welcome.
Thank you.
Well, good evening. It's nice to be with you guys again. We're very thankful for your prayers. There's been some big things happening, although we can see that more looking back. I think a word I want to leave with you tonight is the word accumulation. Accumulation, you know, you've seen it, like if you haven't, you look at your garage, you see accumulation in effect. If you see your report card at the end of the semester, you see accumulation that didn't happen or maybe did happen, I don't know. For us working in China, and even for you guys living here, you know, when we have interactions with people, you're not my wife, you're just someone else, okay? For example, I interact with this lady here, and she really is my wife. And I share something with her about who Jesus is, but it doesn't go anywhere. And it's like, oh, man, okay, next time. But when you have repeated events like that, you feel like, man, where is this going? Nothing seems to be happening. And all of a sudden, boom, you get a breakthrough. And we've had some situations this past 3 years where stuff has been accumulating for literally 6 or 7 years that come back and we see, wow, God is getting glory. And thankfully that we're not like blowing things along the way, especially as we drive around in traffic in China. the Shaw people, they have a, for those of us who we've not met, Shaw people, 800,000 of them, basically like Lancaster, Lebanon, Dauphin County populations tucked together. And the number of believers could probably fit in this room here tonight. So not many of them at all. The other thing is, you know, with communication, you know, they prefer to communicate orally, like talk to people, you know. And that sounds great, like a no-brainer, but we in the West tend to give the gospel more written or read this, please, and we can discuss it. But for them, the way that God has shown us to give them the word is through oral Bible storying, which basically we share the Bible story, and you can flip it again. I'll let you do the signals, please. Okay, keep going. So with the Shaw people, we say, hey, can we tell you 10 stories? And we share with them 10 stories about who God is. Now, the cool thing about the Shaw people is they like to sing. And it's not just like sing because there's a song in their heart, so to speak, but their culture is embodied in their songs. So they have books about this thick that are filled with songs. And they have times at night where they can sing. They have parties that they sing over all through the nighttime. And so God has shown us, hey, we can share a Bible story with them and pair it with a song that's appropriate, and that's how we can give them God's word. So we call it oral song and story song-story pairings. Yes.
Just not to confuse you, they are oral people, which means most of them don't read. When Jeff said there's books this thick of songs, those have been collected by researchers, not by the people themselves, because most of them do not ever look at a book to sing thousands of verses of song. Okay. Let's say that the blue line would represent from creation, the story of God's history with man, all the way through into Acts and Revelation, okay? In the last 3 years, we have been able to do, in a first draft form in the Shaw language, about 80%, like the green bar that you see up there. That is astounding to me because I felt like until I got back here to America, it was going so slowly. And yet it isn't. God is bringing about in their language. And when we get a first draft finished, there's another step that goes with it. But I think, does the next slide have, yeah. Will it connect to the audio? It won't do the audio. Okay. So what we're going to show you tonight is what is represented by the yellow bar there, which is called back translation. We rarely meet people who know what back translation is. So the easiest way to help you understand what we do once a story exists in the Shaw language in a first draft is to have you experience it with us. So we're going to go into your Bible to one of the shorter stories in the Bible in Genesis, the Tower of Babel. And it's found in Genesis 11. And we're just going to do one little part of the story of the Tower of Babel, which is found around verse 4 in our Bibles. So if you get out Genesis 11:4, we're going to show you how the process of back translation works once you have a first draft in Shaw language. I'm going to take my usual role, which will be, if you could click the slide, I usually am over here on the left around the dining room table, and my job is to tell a story in the Shaw language to Levi. Okay, that's a picture of Levi. Go backwards one slide now. We need Jeff to represent Levi tonight because he speaks both Shaw and Mandarin, okay? And then we're going to use somebody else who can read English to come up here and be Jeff, who would help us, preferably a guy. It's like one sentence. It's okay. Okay. All right, you can come be Jeff, and you'll be over there. Over on that side. So this is what we do around the dining room table. The thing to capture here, though, is that Levi has never heard God's word in the story that we're about to tell him, okay? And so he's hearing it for the first time in his heart language. He's about 21 years old. And he'll hear it from me in this first draft form, and then he'll turn and he'll tell it to Jeff. But problems happen in first drafts. So your job is to think with us and find the problems. There's two types of problems. One, find something that's missing, and you can check it from your Bible. We always check it from the Bible. Okay, Genesis 11:4, something that's missing that really needs to be in there. And two, something that is just flat out wrong, a mistake that shouldn't be said that way. Because that's what the process of back translation does, is it tries to dig out these mistakes. Okay, here we go. I'll be first in the Shah language, telling Levi, who then tell in the English for your sake. Sibalai, Tai Xiang Wu, Luo, Wani Yongwai, He Idiot Iguai Xiang Xie, Isi Hidiotani, Wani Wiliao Ji Go, and Meng Xiang Dong Hu, Ndu Bong Fue Jin Noi Hu.
Xiamian Taman Shu, Laiba, Woman Liangazo, Ike Chung Shu, Ijir Jian Dao Tian Shang, Woman Yao Wail Ziji the Ming Shang. 传出去, 免得分散, 在全地上.
Then they said, come, the two of us will build a city which reaches to the heavens. We will do this to establish our own name, lest we be scattered all to all places. Then they said, come, the two of us will build a city which reaches to the heavens. We will do it to establish our own name, lest we be scattered to all places.
Yes, okay, now that is just a preference of English language thing. That actually isn't probably a mistake. We can always check those things with him. Yeah? Yeah. This is not two people going to do this. In the Bible, this is the whole population who has stopped here on the plain and to build these things, this great city. You might say, well, how could that mistake happen when you're doing these translations? Well, in English and in Mandarin language, we is said very readily, and it just means what we're used to it meaning. But in Sha language, if you use the word we, you have to put a number with it, such as we 7, we 25, we 132. And if you don't say how many, then it defaults and it means two people. And so if my translator and I are working along and we're not careful and she says a default one, I'll just go ahead into two people and then out it will come when you put it back through Mandarin into English. Okay, did you catch one other problem? Something's missing. Something crucial to the story. The tower isn't even mentioned, and so that would have to be put back in there. So Levi, the guy we work with, is pretty crucial to hearing, switching between the two languages.
Yeah, you can pray for Levi and the lady you saw earlier. They are both not believers. However, they're hearing the Bible literally just from like the beginning to the end. So again, God's word is, they're hearing it, and we're just praying that God will continue to spur them on. You can click it again. We live in the red part of China, down in the belly of the rooster, we call it. And one of the things that we talked to you guys last time was about pray for what we're going to do about Kylie and Leah's education. They just completed ninth grade. We've homeschooled them up to this point. But for 10, 11, 12, we felt like they should be into a high school situation. And you can click again. And God has provided a way for us to move to Taiwan, which is only 200 miles away. So if I'm like here to New Stanton, Pennsylvania kind of thing. And in Taiwan, they have a missionary school there for high schoolers, and the girls can go there for free, which is a huge answer to prayer, because Laurie is going to turn into a kindergarten teacher. So you can pray for her, too. and God provided all that. And our whole family is moving to Taiwan also. And we go back to when we leave here July 21st, we're flying to Taiwan. Now, the cool thing is, by us going to Taiwan, God's enabled us to be still near in our location. We can still live in Taiwan, but we have a house in China. It sounds more glamorous than what it really is. But the idea is that we can go back and forth, and that's where I come in primarily. One of the things that I'm excited about and you can pray for is the opportunity for more coworkers, both foreign coworkers and hopefully Taiwanese believers too. One of the cool things in Taiwan in the last 4 or 5 years is the Taiwanese church has a heart to reach out to unbelieving Taiwanese and even to unbelievers outside of Taiwan. So potentially, and we're trusting God for this, is that as I get involved with Chinese churches in Taiwan, I can actually make field trips with them over to our area and look and have them and share with them the vision of the ministry and stuff there so that they can be there working also.
It would be much easier for a Taiwanese Mandarin speaker to begin learning Xia language than for any of us English speakers.
And then on longer breaks, our family will make trips over to the mainland also. So that's a blessing and a good thing. The family there, the names you saw there, John Dunn is a guy who I can be able to work with. He shares the gospel the similar ways that we do, so that's a grand thing. The other guy's name, Bobby Law, they work with Chinese churches. They're from down in Lancaster. They work with Chinese churches in Taiwan. So, again, just having two other guys who want to reach out to other people is a huge... I have to pinch myself at times because we didn't get that when we were in our part in China. You can click it again. So one of the things that you'll see coming through our letters is this thing about summer 2016. We are wanting to finalize this story song pair set so that it can be recorded and it can be passed out or it can be shared with other people face-to-face. But that's going to take time. It's going to take... Basically, we're going to be doing Bible translating in our Chinese apartment in China. So pray for how we're going to be able to pull this one off with all the government stuff, too. And you can click down through all those. There's four.
I don't think the fourth will fit.
Okay, three. But basically, those are the things that we're praying for. And the other thing is, the next 3 years or so, you can write to us on email freely because we'll be in Taiwan. Yeah. So that's a good thing. So we'll leave you guys with that tonight. And, you know, you can always ask questions or talk with us later if you'd like.
Yeah, in the back, we do have our prayer cards if that helps you to remember to pray for us more. And we also have kids' books about the Xia people for anyone maybe who's like fourth grade down to kindergarten might enjoy that. So if you have grandkids or anyone, you can take some of them along.
Girls, come on up. And we're going to pray for you right now, for one thing. And then you may think that being called to reach a people group that communicates that way is an immense undertaking. But how many know our God is big? And you know, they've been working at this for 11 years now, and God can do amazing things, you know, because God's ultimate goal is he wants to reach people of every tribe and every tongue and every nation. And praise God for the work that you guys are doing and our partnership that we can have a part in it. So, Father, we just pray over Jeff and Lori and Leah and Kylie, Father, and we're so grateful that we are able to partner with them in the work that they're doing to reach a people group in a foreign country. Father, I ask you to anoint them with fresh oil and strengthen them with might in their inner man by your Holy Spirit. Father, I pray that you would begin to put all the pieces together that they need, the workers, the opportunities, the translation, the equipment, and how they're going to do it all, Father. And Lord, I just ask you to give them wisdom and open the eyes of their understanding so that they are enlightened. And Lord, I'm so grateful, Father, that they're being used in your kingdom to reach people for you. And Lord, I thank you, Father, that their labor of love is not in vain. But Lord, they're doing what you've called them to do, and you're working through them to, and Lord, cause miracles to come to their path. Provide for them, Father, what they need. And Lord, we're so grateful that we can kick up our prayers on that side. And Lord, we look to you. And thank you, Father, for blessing them and protecting them and keeping them safe. in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. There's nothing impossible with God. Amen? And some people are sent, and others help the ones that are sent. So you may not be able to go, but you can certainly participate in other ways. So praise God. And Lord, we just pray for the Shaw people. And Lord, I thank you for opening doors of opportunity for your gospel to go forth and for it to be rooted and grounded in their hearts, Father, and for it to spread like wildfire. And Lord, I give you thanks and praise that you love the Shaw people. And Lord, just extend your hand, Lord, and move heaven and earth. And I give you thanks and praise that your gospel is good news. And we look to you, Father, to reach that people in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we're talking about the Holy Spirit, aren't we? The person and the work of the Holy Spirit. We're probably going to get to the work part towards the end. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like you to go to Luke chapter 24. And we're going to begin there. You know, the Holy Spirit was always part of God's plan. And in verse, let's go to verse 49. And we'll read that, Luke 24, verse 49. And it says, "And behold, I send the promise of my Father," notice what it says, "upon you." But then he says, "Tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high." So how many know that God had a promise? And his promise was about an endowment of power, okay? And anything that God does is going to require power, right? Even Jesus said, he said, "I can do nothing of myself, but everything I see my Father do, everything I hear my Father say, that's what I do." And that's, and you know, it's interesting how Jesus was talking to these two guys on the road to Emmaus. He had been to the cross, he had been to the tomb, and now he's resurrected, okay? And he joins these two guys, and he begins having a conversation with them, and they don't know it's the Lord, all right? And he's asking them about what was happening in Jerusalem. And in verse, you know, he was asking, like he was saying, like, what things have been happening? And they're like, "Where have you been, man? You don't know what's happening. You don't know what's going on." And he had to correct them, and then he did, and he began to expound to them from the word of God, and they had him over their house, and he said, you know, he delivered his peace, and so then he gives him this command. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father." Now, he's not talking about salvation, is he? Because God never said, "Go and wait to be saved," did he? How quickly does salvation come about? Whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord, what's going to happen? You're saved, okay? But he's telling his disciples, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but you have to wait in Jerusalem until you be endued from with power from on high. Okay? And he led them out as far as Bethany. He lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Okay? So I want you to see that while they are waiting for this promise to be endued with power, they have joy, they're praising God, they're focused on kingdom things, all right? And they go with this in their heart, okay? Now let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. And let's go to verse 3. Acts 1, verse 3. And it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So for 40 days, Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God before he finally went home to heaven. Okay? And then verse 4 says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them, everybody say commanded, that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, said he, you have heard of me. Okay? So Jesus was preparing them about there was going to be a moment where they were going to connect with God's promise. God's promise was not salvation, but it was the Holy Spirit. It was an endowment of power. You know, how many has ever heard about a scholarship, right? People are given scholarships for different things, for their athletic ability, for their scholastic ability, and it's an endowment. It enables them to go to the school where they can learn, right? And they're endowed. So the promise of the Father, all right? Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And let's go to verse 11. Now, John the Baptist, what position did he hold? What was he? Prophet, right? He was the first prophet after 400 years of dark ages. And he's on the scene, and his job is to introduce Jesus. And he says this in verse 11 of Matthew 3. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I. Everybody say mightier than I. So that tells us that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it has more power, it's more potent, okay? And then he says, he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So John is telling the people about what was to come, right? It hadn't come yet, had it? Not to this point. And so, let's go to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And let's go to verse 37. John 7, 37. See, the Holy Spirit is a person. He is God. And just as much as he was involved in creation, he's also involved in making new creatures. All right? When a person accepts Jesus Christ, they get the Holy Spirit. But then, after you get born again, there is an added bonus. There is, in addition to, You can be baptized with fire. It is a free gift. Okay? And Jesus said here, there was a feast going on. He said, in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, who's he talking to? Any man. All right? Is the Holy Spirit excluded from any person? No. If any man, what? Thirst. Okay? If you thirst, let him come unto me and drink. So you got a thirst. You can be anybody. You got a thirst. You got to come unto him and you got to drink. Now, is he talking about taking a physical glass? You know? He's not talking about taking this bottle and taking a drink, is he? How does one drink spiritually? You drink by using your mouth in praising God, in speaking the word, in singing songs, and that's how we drink, spiritually speaking. So Jesus said, if you thirst, come unto me and drink. Okay? So Jesus is like a fountain, all right? And then he that believes on me. So who do you have to believe on? You can't just drink haphazardly. You've got to drink on faith. You've got to drink on purpose. You got to thirst, you got to come, you got to drink, and you got to believe. Okay? He that believes on me, as the scripture has said. You know, belief is always tied to the word of God. He said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Whoa. All right? Everybody put your hands on your belly. Did you know that you have the potential of, notice he didn't say river, did he? He said rivers of what? Living water, life-giving water, pure water. Water that produces life is going to flow out of this belly right here. But the qualifications are, you got to be thirsty. You got to come to him. You got to drink. And you got to believe. Okay? Four qualifications. But notice the next verse, verse 39. But this he spake, he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him, what's the next two words? Should receive. Everybody say should receive. It is God's passion. It is God's desire. It is God's mandate that every believer have the Holy Spirit and fire. He doesn't want any believer. Now, if you don't have the fire, is it a bad thing? Well, it's not a bad thing, but it gets a whole lot better with the fire. Okay? I preach like I preach because there's a fire inside of me. And I tell you what, there are some times when I try to be nice. I try to just say it out without, you know, I try to just preach like this without moving. You know, I did that once. When I was in lab class, and we had about 100 people in our class, I was in the evangelist class, okay? Because the first year of Bible school that I went to, everybody gets the same stuff, all right? We all get a foundation. But then the second year, you get to go into more of what, you know, you could go in the pastor's group, the evangelist group, the missions group, the children's group, the youth group, the helps group. Okay, at that time, that's what they had. And I was in a service where a preacher from South Africa was preaching, and I saw the word evangelist with the flame of fire around it. And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe I ought to go into the evangelist group. You know, if God's going to give you a sign like that, you know, you don't need... the guy's name was Ray McCauley, and to this day, I still remember the title of his message. He said, "Preference or Conviction? I can't help but obey God." That's what he was talking about. And I'm getting goosebumps right now as I'm thinking about it. So I'm sitting in the service. I'm having this vision of this word evangelist with flame of fire around it, so I go into the evangelist group. And part of our class, we had to preach for 10 minutes. And we had to be judged by our peers, you know. And that was the first time I'd ever spoken in front of a group. And I don't know what happens to the moisture in your mouth, but it disappeared. My mouth became like the Sahara Desert that day. And I mean, my tongue was dry. I'm like, but that was the only time that I stood in one place. Ever since then, I'm thankful for wireless things. Because I like to move and preach. But see, as a young boy, I got saved and I got filled with the Holy Spirit all at the same time. I mean, God came into my life in such a dramatic way, and I was both laughing and crying together. And I have such a passion. My passion is to see people walk in their inheritance. So Jesus said, in relation to the Holy Spirit, something's going to happen in your belly. Your belly is going to be now turned into the mouth of rivers. And rivers of living water are going to flow out of your being. And I thought about that because the Holy Spirit is all about power. What God designed to give his people... Yes, we get the Holy Spirit when we're born again. When you accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is living in you. But then there is a baptism of fire. And it is free to every believer, and God doesn't want any believer to do without it. So I preach like I preach because there's something on the inside of me. And sometimes the words just want to erupt like a volcano. And it's like, sometimes it's like horses, you know, you got a team of horses, you're trying to keep them steady, but they're wanting to push on, you know, and you're doing everything you can. So the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Holy Spirit could not be poured out on the earth, on everybody, until Jesus was glorified, until he finished his work and did what he needed to do and presented his stuff to the Father, all right? Now, go back to Acts chapter 1. So Jesus here, he's telling the believers to wait for the promise that he gave in Luke 24, the promise that he talked about in John 7, it's the same promise that he's dealing with now. Okay, wait for the promise. How many know that God is good to what he promises? What God promised will happen. You can just rely on his promises. All of his promises are yes and amen. Then in verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now, or not many days hence. So he's getting, okay, now in just a couple of days. They didn't know what was going to happen. They just knew where it was going to happen. It was going to happen in Jerusalem. And they had to go and wait for it. So impatient people would have had a hard time. Okay? And verse 6, when they were therefore come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Verse 8, but you shall receive what? After the Holy Ghost is come upon you. What's the power going to do? And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, and in Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So this power that's going to come upon me is going to help me be a witness. And how many know we witness two ways? We witness with our words, and we witness with our life. The way we live is a witness. How we handle problems is a witness. It testifies to what we believe. It shows what we believe. But he said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come. How many want power? We all want it. We all need it. Okay? And I thought about this. They're coming out with a lot of electric cars now. And an electric car is equipped with power, but the power for an electric car is electric, right? But with electricity, when you use, okay, let me put it to you this way. I have a phone right here, okay? This phone operates on a battery. The battery gives this phone power. All right? If I don't use it a whole lot, it'll last for a couple of days. But what happens to the power eventually on a portable device? It goes down. But here's the good thing. See this phone here? It's got a plug-in. And the phone was equipped with a plug-in, so when the power goes down, it has the power in it, but when the power's used, it goes down. But you can take this phone and you can plug it back up to a power source, and then the power level goes back up so you can use it again. Okay? Now, you and I were designed like this phone. Okay? We have been equipped, we have been designed to be receptors of the power of God. And there is an initial filling of the Holy Spirit, which occurred in Acts 2, but then there's many refillings. Why? Because the power that we have, it goes down, but we still have the equipment in us to get charged by the same power that was put in us. So we can keep coming to a place like this to get charged up, to get filled up, to get energized, to get saturated. And all you've got to do, how hard is it to plug in this phone? I have a plug-in in my office, and I have a plug-in at home. And all I got to do is take the end, plug it in, and as long as that plug is attached to a power source, the same power that's there readily available will go into this phone, and this phone will come back to life. So it can be used again. It can have conversations or text or whatever. Okay? Go to Acts chapter 2. All right? And I'm almost done. All right? Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, just like we are tonight. Okay? And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. Everybody say suddenly. What came from heaven? A sound. Isn't that awesome? 120 people are in this room, and they're hearing this sound from heaven. First of all, how did they know it came from heaven? Obviously, they knew where it came from. Okay? It was as of a rushing mighty wind. Long time ago, I was staying at my grandparents' who had a dirt basement at the time. And you had to go out the house, you had to exit outside to get to the basement. And I remember a tornado came. And that thing sounded like a freight train. I mean, it has a noise before it comes. All right? And I can remember my grandma and I was holding her hand, and her and I, the wind was just whipping, and we got out of the house, we got to the basement, opened the door, and literally hit the dirt. Okay? It filled the house. So this sound, and that was like a mighty wind, it filled the place. It filled the atmosphere. Okay? And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. All right, if you can just picture, you know, it was something like flaming tongues sat upon each of them. How many did it sit upon? Each of them, every one of them. Why? God wants everyone filled. Because this is what he promised. It's available to us. Okay? And when the flames sat on them, they began to speak with other tongues. Now, what's a tongue? A tongue is simply a language. Okay? 1 Corinthians 13:1 says, if I speak with the tongue of angels or if I speak with the tongue of men, but I don't have love, I'm just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. So that tells me it could be either a heavenly language or an earthly language. All right? You know, you guys are speaking Mandarin. That's another tongue. Okay? But this was a tongue that occurred as a result. They did not study. They did not learn. It was supernatural. God instantly gave all these 120 the ability to speak in a language that they never learned or studied. Okay? And this caused a lot of chaos because everybody that was there for this feast got their attention. They were wondering what's happening in this room. They all began to gather around this room to find out what was taking place. And Peter gets up. The man who denied Jesus gets up on this day in public to make a statement for Jesus and not against Jesus. That tells you the power that was now on him. Do you realize that all the disciples were hiding for fear of the Romans? Because the Romans were probably accusing them that they stole the body. And isn't it interesting that this power that God promised came on Peter, and he didn't think twice about standing up for Jesus in public, where prior to this, he denied Jesus in front of a little girl. So that power must have transformed Peter and gave him boldness that he never had before. And he began to speak of the prophecy of Joel. He said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Everybody say all flesh. Every flesh needs a touch from God. Every one of us needs a touch from the Master. And if you've been touched by the Master, that doesn't mean he can't touch you again. Okay? And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. All right? Go down to verse 33. Okay? Notice this, verse 33. Peter is now testifying of Jesus. And he said, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted. Where's Jesus right now? He's at the right hand of God. He's exalted, okay? And having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Did you know that Jesus received the promise of the Father just like he wants us to receive it? And then it says, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. So what were they seeing? They were seeing this 120 speaking languages they didn't know, and it turned out to be earthly languages because the people who were there said, they're glorifying God. These Galileans who have a different dialect, they're glorifying God in my language. And it was amazing. It was awesome. It gave the Lord an audience. And Peter preached, and the preaching of the word of God touched their hearts. And the people said, what must we do to be saved? And then in verse 38, how easy it is to receive the Holy Spirit? It is easy. Everybody say it's easy. So they came to Peter, they said to them, Peter said, you know, they said, what must we do? And Peter said, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins. That means you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And, everybody say, and. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Say, it's a gift. Okay, now look at verse 29. For the promise is unto you. Say, the promise is for me. Look at your neighbor and say, the promise is for you. Okay, the promise is for you and your children. It's for young and old. To all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. So who's it for? It's for everybody. What is it? It's power. It came as a result. It's God's promise manifested. And God promised it. He reaffirmed it. He kept saying it. He kept talking about it. And when the people, when the apostles, we're going to get into it next week, when the apostles saw that people were filled with the Holy Spirit, they remembered what Jesus said. They said, this is just like what Jesus said. What they saw what was happening. What was happening was testifying to the truth of what Jesus said. Okay? So, God's given us a promise. And the fulfillment of this promise came in Acts. And God's promise is still good today. Anyone can be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. Just like, you know, John said, I baptize you with water, but he comes after me is more mightier than I. He'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And the same group in Acts 2, if you read the account in Acts 4, it says they were all together and they all were filled again in Acts 4, 431. All right? So the same group that initially got filled, once you get filled, you have the equipment in you to be recharged. Okay? When you get filled, it's like God puts the charging element in you, and you can get refilled. Why is it important to be filled? Because it's going to take power to bring in the harvest. How many know that a combine can bring in more crops than manpower? Right? I mean, you could go into a giant field of hundreds of acres, and you could put people out there to harvest it, but it's going to take a long time. But if you get a combine, you know, a big green combine, Paul's not here, but, you know, this would be a good opportunity for him to say amen. But see, you could bring in the harvest a lot faster. Why? Because a combine is more powerful than humans. And so God wants his people full, because there's an end-time harvest that is there waiting to be picked. There's a harvest of Shaw people waiting to be picked. They're there. And God's got you there. God's called you there. God put you there. I mean, they didn't wake up one day and said, you know, we think it'd be a good idea to go to China. You know, just leave everything we know here and just go to a foreign country. I mean, no. You got to be called to do that. But it's so important that we have this power. And next week, I'm going to give you several examples of people who were baptized in the Holy Spirit and how they got that way and what happened when they were. You can go to Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 8, Acts 19. There's all good examples. Amen? But you're here tonight. Oh, I didn't know if you were trying to get my attention. All right. You're here tonight, and maybe you just need power. Maybe you need to be recharged. It's a good place to get recharged. Oh, yes, thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions about what we talked about tonight? It could be about anything. Yes. The word virtue there is the word for power. So the power that was in Jesus was healing power, right? And she tapped into that power by faith. Faith is simply believing what Jesus said and accepting it as true. So when she touched the hem of his garment, she touched healing power. And Jesus said, power went out of me. What did that power do? That power stopped the flow of blood instantly. So this is just a different power, but it's the same source.
You could use that, like if someone wants to argue the point of, well,
how can you lose the Holy Spirit? Well, you can use that argument and point to that and say, listen, Jesus himself then lost the virtue when the woman came up. So therefore, I've felt it already praying over people where you lose it, you feel drained.
Yeah, because you're using it, and the Holy Spirit comes on us to function. And when we're functioning, we're using the ability that God gave us, but then we're human, okay? And when the anointing lifts, it's like deflating a tire sometimes. You know, I mean, Jesus himself, he had to rest because he was in the human body. Good question. Any other questions? Yes. Well, it all depends on what version you read, but it's the same person. Okay. When did the Holy Ghost turn to the Holy Spirit? They're one and the same. You know, it all depends on what version you read. Any other questions regarding the Holy Spirit? This is your opportunity if you want to know something. I have an answer for every question. But sometimes my answer is I don't know. Let's get the microphone so that we can record the question. Pardon me?
Why do we still baptize with water if John baptized with water and Jesus did not?
Well, the baptism with water is simply a picture of what has taken place in someone's heart who accepts Jesus Christ. And when Ananias went to Paul, he laid his hands on him. Paul received his sight. Paul got baptized in water, and Paul got filled with the Holy Spirit all at the same time. So the baptism of water is a picture of someone accepting Christ, because it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. So we're still baptized in water to exemplify that. All right, does that answer your question? Good question, thank you. Any other questions? Things you wanted to know but never asked. We don't normally do this, but this is a class, right? So we got to ask any other questions about the Holy Spirit. Okay? And we're going to get more into this, and then the last two sessions we're going to talk about what the Holy Spirit does, his work. All right? He does several things. He wears many hats. So all right. If anyone needs prayer and you need a touch from God, or you'd like to receive power, I'd like to just give you an opportunity to pray for you real quick.